There was an idea. Stark knows this. Called the Nerd Initiative. The idea was to bring together a group of
physically repulsive, intellectually retarded, vulgar, insensitive, selfish, stupid
people. See if they could become something more. See if they could work together when we needed them to fight the battles that we never could.
From Vancouver, British Columbia, this is the Three Angry Nerds podcast with your host, Curtis.
Now I'm begging you to shut the fuck up.
Yo, everyone, welcome to the Three Angry Nerds podcast. I'm your host, Curtis. With me, as always, is Carlos and...
Oh, God, we're back.
Yep, we're back. After a prolonged hiatus, we're back. All right. Before we get to the news that matters, this week's episode is brought to you by Luke Cage. This gritty, action-packed drama follows the evolution of Luke Cage, played by Mike Coulter, a man with super strength and unbreakable skin caused by a sabotage experiment. After a failed relationship with fellow superhero Jessica Jones, Cage tries to rebuild a quiet life in Harlem, New York, until he is pulled out of the shadows and forced into a battle for a city. Along the way, Cage cannot avoid confronting his past, which he has worked hard to bury. Marvel's Luke Cage is the third show in the Netflix original Defenders
series. Yes, in case you couldn't count.
Well, I mean, some people will say, what, Daredevil season 2? I'll be like, eh.
Yeah.
And I'll punch you in the face for being stupid.
I just some people will be like, what about that yo-yo, you know, one-off thing? Does that count?
Oh, awkward jokes.
All right, let's move on to the first bit of news this week. Peter Dinklage has just been cast in Avengers.
Was he cast? Or was he just like in talks to cast?
I think it's in talks.
This is why we're not as good as the Lettuce podcast.
You talked about this on the Lettuce
podcast. No, this is why we're not as good as the Lettuce podcast, because you don't know. I thought it was just like...
I think it's part of our charm, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. This shoddy.
I'm sorry, Corey, if you go over to the Lettuce podcast and you just have a great time.
Which you should, by the way, yes. Listeners at home, I just did a guest special for The Dark Knight. Expect to see that on Sunday. It was a good time.
Yeah, sorry, can't be up this podcast in terms of hilarity and comedy.
Nah, it's fine. You know, I still love you guys. It has its charm.
I mean, we'll just say he has been cast. Let's just assume that he has been, because he's Peter Dinklage.
Fair.
He's a pretty good
name.
Of course, a lot of people are like, who is he playing? And the obvious answer is Pip the Troll.
No, I want to be Adam Warlock.
He's going to be the Beyond.
Why would he be
Because Adam he Warlock? Has the look for it. He has nice blonde hair, commanding presence. I like to see him kick Thanos' ass. That'd just be funny.
Okay, let's just pretend Corey hasn't been smoking crack for the past
It's not
hour.
That far-fetched.
He would not be playing
He's playing the Beyonder.
I prefer Adam Warlock.
See, here's the thing. Pip the Troll makes sense. Because
short?
Pip the Troll does have ties to Adam Warlock, so, you know, that's pretty cool right there.
Or just for...
But also, too, Marvel had this pretty funny thing a couple years ago where... Pip the Troll appeared and some woman was like, hey, aren't you that guy from Game of Thrones?
Oh, ha, because that wouldn't be so obvious.
Yeah. So it's kind of funny because Marvel's been actually like setting this up this entire time. The long game.
Nah, let's forgo Pip. Just let him be Adam Warlock.
Corey, if he's Adam Warlock, that would be the worst casting decision Marvel's ever made.
Impossible. It would be the best. It would be the best casting that she ever made.
What do you think there, Carlos?
He's playing the Beyonder.
All right.
Of course, that's just a wild guess. I don't know.
Wait, but how would you feel about Peter Dinklage as Adam Warlock?
I don't have a strong opinion either way.
Okay, you're like those people from Futurama. I have no strong opinion one way or the other.
Yes.
Mark my words here, listeners. He's playing Pip the Troll.
Let it be Adam Warlock. Tell Marvel. Yes.
No. You need someone like a Hugh Dancy to play.
Fuck Adam back. Get Peter Dinklage.
What do you have against Hugh Dancy?
Nothing. I just think Peter Dinklage as Adam Warlock would be epic. And Pip the Troll would be a waste of his talents. Although, I guess...
What if he's playing Curtis?
What if he's playing me in the MCU?
Oh, God.
Why not?
It would certainly look better.
Ouch.
See, you know, Cora goes on this other podcast. He just gets a little too sassy. No. But yeah, we don't know who he's playing. As you can tell, the fact that all of us have no clue. But he's in the movie, apparently.
Alright, yes. Hopefully kicks ass. And he kicks Thanos' ass as Adam Warlock.
Well, what if he's playing Squirrel Fuck. Girl?
That, I mean, he could be Squirrel Guy. I mean, I can dig it.
Like a gender-swapped squirrel person.
If it couldn't be Anna Kendrick or the girl from Stranger Things, it would have to be Peter Dinklage.
Next up, Doctor Strange is rumored to be played by a stand-in in Infinity War. So this stems from the fact that Benedict Cumberbatch, he has some other movies that he's filming around the same time as Infinity War. So people are like, he's going to be played by a stand-in.
What? I don't think so.
Unless he doesn't have, like... If he doesn't have a role in the movie, he just won't be in the movie. Like, it might be in the second one, but no, I doubt this. They'll have already... If he has a major role in the film, they'll be like, Benedict, gotta show up.
Well, the thing is, too, is you'd have to think that with Marvel and their contracts and all that shit, you know, they probably have more say over what he is in rather than being, you know, in some, like, indie flick or whatever. Like, they're gonna be like, yo, you gotta star in, like, the highest grossing film of the decade or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I could see this maybe being like an option they throw around in case it doesn't work out, but I'm pretty sure they'll have it worked out if there is a conflict between his other film and this film.
Yeah.
Speaking of people being digitally recreated, Lucasfilm confirms that Leia will not be CGI recreated.
Good.
So, yeah, there's a lot of buzz about that. They flat out said, no, we're not doing that. So, there you go. Woody Harrelson's been confirmed for the Han Solo film. They did not say who he will be playing, but the earlier rumor suggested he's playing Han Solo's mentor in the film. So,
that'd be perfect. I like that idea.
I like that idea. I just want a point in the film where, you know, he says to Han Solo, time is a flat circle. He's like, what the hell are you talking about?
I just want to see him eat a space Twinkie.
There you go.
I just, like, I find it interesting that, like, people are like, oh my god, who is he playing? I'm like, yeah, they're probably just going to make up a whole bunch of characters for this. You know that, right?
Oh, totally. And it'll probably be better than when George Lucas came up with characters.
Yeah. And also, I fully expect Woody Harrelson to be dead as a doornail by the end of the movie.
Well, I'm going to wager a guess right now that he probably screws over Han Solo at one point in the film.
Well, yeah, because he's a criminal.
Because, like, you have to think the idea with Han Solo, at least when you see him in A New Hope, is that he's kind of untrusting of everybody, right? So you have to think, he didn't just get there because
he was not a hero. At least not yet.
No.
Yeah. So I think that would be a really cool thing to have, like, have a mentorship that kind of, like, ends up with him being betrayed. That could be pretty cool. But that's just my guess. Like, I have no info to back this up. This is just me rambling like a crazy person. We got news about the final Logan trailer. It's expected online this Thursday, so it should be up pretty shortly. And we got our first synopsis for the film. So it's exciting. Confirms a lot of what we already knew, but it's interesting nonetheless. Corey, are you excited for
this? I'm excited for the film. I'm not going to watch the trailer, though. I've seen enough of the film. The first trailer won me over really well, so I don't want to see any more footage. I don't want to see anything else, maybe beyond a still or two. And I'm just looking forward to the movie in, like, over 40 days, right?
Yeah, something like that. Like, it's crazy that this movie's coming out so soon. Yeah, it's also kind of funny, too, that it's, like, it's a final trailer. Like, I feel like we haven't had enough trailers
for this movie. We've had enough trailers for this movie. The first one was fine. I would say they shouldn't even release a second trailer. Just the first trailer is good enough.
Yeah. I think what they'll do with the second trailer is probably put in a few more comic references.
Maybe we'll see more X-23. That'd be cool.
Yeah. She didn't even talk in the first trailer. It's like she was a mute or something. All right.
Nobody asked me because they know that I'm just going to launch into a tirade or something.
Well, I was going to ask you, but then I'm like, no, I think I already know the answer, but I'll ask you, Carlos, are you excited for Logan? There we go. I knew the
answer. Yeah, we didn't need to ask at all.
Well, he's like, why didn't you ask me? I'm like, why? Because I knew
I think everyone here would know the answer at this point.
Yeah, we all know Carlos is going to be like, fuck X-Men, send it over to, you know, Marvel Studios.
That's me.
Anyways. I mean, and the thing is, dudes, you have valid points.
Although, again, like, I said this before, but I will say it again, was that at least the Logan trailers have, like, looked a lot better than anything else. But does that mean I should get excited personally?
I don't know, maybe a little...
Yeah.
Maybe a little optimistic a little bit.
I mean, it would be nice to have... like an X-Men film that like almost everyone universally loves.
Oh, you mean like First Class?
No. People who like First Class are high on crack. That movie's trash. That movie has no plot. Fuck's
sake. No,
X-Men First Trash.
X-Men Wolverine had no plot. First Class had something at least.
The reason that people like First Class is it came out after all those other shitty films, and it was better than those ones. So everyone was like, "It's the best X-Men movie ever."
I find it funny that there's a lot of people who are like the MCU has bad villains when X-Men First Class villains are worse than pretty much any of the MCU's villains.
You know that in that movie, they would have totally had Magneto as the villain if it didn't, like, just glaringly not make sense. So that's why they were like, let's put Kevin Bacon in kind of like a Magneto-type role. We'll even give him the helmet.
They're just like, yeah, he's basically Magneto anyway, except with a slightly different power. Lol.
Yeah.
I like the scene between him and Michael Fassbender in that one. His submarine.
I mean, the one thing I liked about that film was the training montage.
And well, I feel like that's such a weird thing to like about the actual movie. Character to it.
And, like, the music was pretty bumping in that scene, too.
I liked McAvoy and Fassbender together.
Yeah. So, speaking of Foxman, Cable's origin won't be touched on in Deadpool 2. They're just going to jump straight into, hey, here's
Cable. That's probably the best thing they could do, because God knows Cable's origin is fucked.
It would take, like, two movies to explain Cable's comic book origin, so that there's no point in doing it.
Oh, fucking Rob Liefeld.
Well, the thing is, too, is, like, realistically, if you're not going to have someone like, Cyclops in the movie, then what's the point of being like, oh, hey, he's my father? Because there's just no way that you're going to emotionally pay off on that, so. Yeah, no, I'm fine. I'm fine with that. Channing Tatum this week says that he's still attached to Gambit.
Right.
And the internet is just collectively, like, just kind of, like, puts their hand to their chin, like, yeah, really? Anyways, yeah, he says he's still attached, but I don't believe it.
Maybe he is, but the project sure isn't going anywhere for any time soon.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where he can technically say he's still attached because he signed a contract, and by the terms of his contract, he's still slated to appear in the film, but if the film never gets made, then it doesn't matter. It does now, does it? I mean, yeah, how many directors and writers has this project lost, and how many times has its release date been pushed back? Remember when Gambit was supposed to come out in 2016? Well, that didn't happen.
Yeah. The other thing is, I can't even remember who's like actually attached to direct it right now.
I don't think there is someone so right now.
I think wasn't it like Frank Darabont attached?
There's been like three different people, probably. And I think all three have left, as far as I remember. But
I gotta look this up. Who's the present director
of Gambit? Channing Tatum.
No, it says like, yeah, Frank Darabont might be directing and rewriting Gambit.
Might be.
Yeah, that's the big rumor.
Might.
I love when you type in Gambit film, all that comes up is X-Men film series and Gambit, a 2012 film.
Yikes.
That is definitely not
Gambit. Yeah,
unless they call it Gambit 2012 as a joke when it gets released in 2037, like it's set in the past.
What sucks too is like there's like fan trailers up, but they're like, you know, writing it off as like a real teaser trailer, and I'm just like, fuck.
I hate those things.
It's like you're just trolling people. Like there's people out there that see that and they're like, oh, it's a real thing,
because or just because they're just not as into like the culture of, you know, geek news, right? So they've got no idea. They might be an extremely casual fan and think, oh, that's a trailer for Gambit, I'll see it when it comes out, and then it doesn't come out.
And even like, well, with a lot of my casual, like my friends who are casual fans of comic book movies, they're always like, did you see the trailer for the Gambit film? And I'm like, there's no trailer for the Gambit film. What you saw was a fan-made one. And they're like, oh, really?
Yeah, so sorry.
It happens so much. And I'm just like, stop doing that.
Yeah, stop making those things, people. No one wants them.
Put the title that it deserves, which is fan-made piece of shit. Is that the episode title this week?
I don't know.
Yeah. We can do
better. Well, we haven't done much better.
Said so we can.
I don't even think do we better, came up with but one last week. We got our upper A game. We've been off the game for too long. Okay, well, this will be a tentative one, unless you guys can come up with one that's better.
Okay.
All right. Ares is confirmed as the Wonder Woman villain.
Not surprising anyone.
Yay. I mean, you're dealing with World War One, one of the bloodiest wars in history, then yeah, Ares is going to be involved at some point.
Yeah. It makes
There's
sense.
Also the mention of the God of War. What is it in that? Because it was from a magazine, and there was a mention of deadly gas, apparently, that's being used, and it might like turn the tide of the war or whatever. Ares is probably like, hey, Dr. Poison, you should make that deadly gas and kill everything, and then I get super powerful or whatever, because that's what happens.
Yeah, makes sense too. I mean, gas warfare was a big thing in that time period.
Yeah. Greek mythology created
mustard
gas. That is the plot of Wonder Woman.
Actually, that's a pretty clever way to tie it all in too. I like that.
Yeah. Another thing is too is, you know, I don't think we know who's playing him, right? But
no, they still haven't announced that.
I feel like Danny Houston's probably playing him. I mean, that would make sense, I guess.
Maybe it's Zack Snyder.
Maybe it's Corey.
Oh, yes. Great God.
I would seriously love Corey to just be hamming it up in a DC movie, just being like, I am the God of War.
Okay, I'm trying to do Mr. Tough Guy voice. I am the God of War.
Thing is, too, is like, it would be like the shittiest acting ever, but the DC shills would be like, it's the greatest thing since Citizen Kane.
Oh, hey. I'm not going to be that bad.
Man. Oh, wait, speaking of Wonder Woman, there's a report that claims that Wonder Woman is a mess and that it has the same narrative problems as BVS.
I don't believe it. No, did we talk about this before? Wasn't there like some letter that came out by some ex-employee?
Yeah, apparently this is come from the Schmoes Know and their source.
Oh, and their source.
Yeah. don't know. I mean, it's hard to say at this point because if it's true, then I'm not surprised. But at the same time, too, I feel like anyone could really just be like, yeah, this movie's going to be
shit. Well, yeah, I mean, as long as after like three, one decent, two shitty films, yeah. I mean, saying that, I mean, it's not really that surprising. I don't know, I'd have to see more of the movie first. I mean, the trailers weren't that bad. They weren't as badly edited as the second BBS trailer where, yeah, you could tell that there was a possibility this could be real.
You see, the way that that song was fit into the trailer was really bad, but, like, if I actually listen to it outside of the context of the trailer, and it's kind of half-decent, it's just, that just goes to show how poorly edited that trailer was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like anyone, like, yeah, anyone at this point can just go out and say, Wonder Woman's gonna suck, and people will be like, yeah, probably, because, you know, DCEU. I don't necessarily want to say that. I mean, maybe. I still feel like it's too early to fully know, but we'll see.
I mean, the movie must be done filming.
I think they're about filming, yeah. I don't know, I haven't seen it.
There's a war going on in the editing room right now.
No.
Be sure. So I just got a note that I just linked to you. People.
Yes, I saw your poll. I voted it.
Yeah, I love that. That was a great poll. 9 out of 10 Would vote again. On the DC train, Brad Peyton, who directed San Andreas with The Rock, may be directing.
Oh, dear God, no.
Here we go, kids!
Oh, why? The guy behind Cats and Dogs, Revenge of Kitty Galore?
Isn't that your favorite?
Yes.
Oh, really? Yeah, Corey, when I asked you to submit your list of the Cats top and 10 Dogs movies Revenge of Kitty Galore
is
one.
Corey's favorite movie?
No. I'm saying he directed.
Yeah, you put it at
you said
one.
Yes to my. As soon as I asked that question, you said yes.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't even hear what you actually asked. I just no. I think you asked like he did that. I said yes.
Yikes!
I just remember the movie like 2010.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe they'll have Kevin Spacey to voice a cat in this movie too. Yeah. I mean, I guess I'm not surprised. I mean. The Rock has enough pull that if he's going to be in your movie and he says, hey, I want this guy to direct it, you're probably going to listen.
He still sucks, though.
Yeah, but it's hard to say. I mean, it could be him. It could just be that he has shitty scripts. Like, it's really hard to say.
Cats and Dogs.
I mean, he's directed, like, a ton of movies The Rock's been in, like Journey 2, The Mysterious Island, San Andreas. And, well, they're both working together on Rampage, so. No. It's like, if someone understands The Rock, it's seemingly this guy.
The movie's stuck, though.
It's just kind of funny, because this movie is supposed to be about the character Shazam, but it seems to be that Black Adam's taking the spotlight more so.
Yeah, thus far. He even apparently went to go have a meeting with the WB board members or something. Like, Jeff Johns tweeted that was one of the best meetings of his life.
Oh, apparently Ben Affleck has responded to sad Affleck meme.
Oh, really? What did he say?
He said, it taught me not to do interviews with Henry Cavill where I don't say anything and then they can lay Simon and Garfunkel tracks over it. That's one thing I learned.
It's specific, but it is a lesson.
This is true.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. That meme never gets old. All right. Onto the TV front. The X-Men movies and TV won't be tied together, says Laura Shule or Donner, whatever her name is.
Wait, I thought Luigi was supposed to tie them into the movies. Or is it just his own?
I mean, I think I can kind of see what she means. But I also kind of disagree with it. Like, I think you're not gonna have it directly tie into the films in the sense that like McAvoy or Jennifer Lawrence is gonna show up out of the blue, but I think you're definitely gonna have references to characters from the X-Men universe.
Yeah, but it's gonna be
like it would be kind
yeah.
of
like,
is it going to be the TV versions of those characters or is it gonna be the film versions of those characters?
Yeah.
You know, are you going to mention Professor X, but it's not technically the Professor X you've seen in the movies?
Yeah. I mean, probably have him, like, off camera, like, do, like, how they did it with Superman in the first season of Supergirl, where, like, you kind of just obscure his face or whatever, right? Anyways, there's also a new show coming that will apparently focus on families with their mutant, like, kids or whatever.
Okay.
But also, too, the Sentinels will be a pretty big presence.
Watch
that,
them so. Be like, which look like humans. They're gonna be like Terminators with human skin. They won't actually be giant robots because they'll say we won't be able to make those on a TV budget. They'll say, I'm calling that right now. They're gonna turn them into life model decoys.
Probably.
Yeah.
Which is funny because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. did life model decoys, but they're actually life model decoys. So it makes sense why they look like people, and even though they're robots, they didn't say, we're putting Ultron on the show, and then not make them look like Ultron. Like, you know what I mean? It's gonna be, they're gonna do something really weird with the Sentinels, if this show ever ends up getting made. Remember when that Hellfire show was gonna get made? Yeah, that didn't get made.
Yeah. Or the other thing is, too, is they could do this where it's, like, you know, a shortened series, like, maybe only 8 episodes or something. Like, Legion is only 8 episodes. And the budget for that show is actually seems a little bit higher than most shows. So, I don't know, if you did it for, like, a shortened period, I'm sure you could probably do a bit more with the budget. But,
well, that would
yeah.
be nice. They could actually, if you I mean, could actually like do the Sentinels as that, Sentinels, that would be nice.
Yeah. But again, maybe not realistic. Rick Cosnett and Robbie Amell have been confirmed for The Flash Season 3, so they will be appearing in the back half of the season.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, Robbie Amell, who just consistently dies on the show.
Jesus.
Like, he just dies all the time.
I hope he'll stick around longer. It won't be the Kenny of the Flash universe.
Yeah, and Rick Cosnett, it's interesting because the original plan was to have him be tied into season 2 somehow, but that never happened. And then his show that he was on, which basically caused him not to be on The Flash, got canceled, so now he has time to be back on The Flash. But we don't know, is he back on a full-time capacity, or is he just, like, you know, only going to be showing up every so often? We don't know. But it's interesting. All right, that's it for news. Carlos, you watched some
what series with Fortunate Events.
Yeah, Corey, did you watch it?
I did.
The whole thing?
Yes.
Oh my god, are you gonna review it too?
No, I think you covered it pretty freaking well. So yeah, I think you should handle this one.
What did you see my thread on Twitter about it?
I did. Yeah, and I agree with every word.
Okay. Oh, and you agree with every word. Okay, good. I didn't want to be like, I like the show, and then Corey's like, it's the worst show ever, and
oh,
I would.
Oh, yeah. It's so much better than the fucking movie.
Okay. So, yeah, so A Series of Unfortunate Events is a Netflix show, which is based on A Series of Unfortunate Events, which is a book series, which is an awesome book series. If you haven't read it, you should read it. It was a major part of my childhood, those books. And there was a point, there was a movie that came out in 2004 with Jim Carrey as Count Olaf and Emily Browning as Violet and a bunch of other people were in it. And the thing with the movie is that it seems to have split the fan base in half. Like, I know there's a lot of fans of the book that do like the movie, mostly because it's nostalgia and, you know, they were young when it came out. But I was young when it came out and I didn't like it when it first came out. I thought it didn't do a good job of adapting the first three books in the series, which it covered. Whereas this show does everything pretty much everything that the movie does incorrectly, it does correctly, so I was much more pleased with this TV show. I mean, it makes sense. If you've read the books, you know that the books are fairly short. They're fairly episodic, and they follow, at least for the first half or so, they pretty much follow a fairly familiar formula. So it makes sense to do it as television, and that's probably the greatest strength, is just that the medium is better suited for this type of story.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't know anything about A Series of Unfortunate Events, I can give a small little synopsis. And the basic idea here is that you have three children, the Baudelaire orphans, Violet, who's the oldest, Klaus, who's the middle child, and Sunny is a baby. And they've been recently orphaned, and they are trying to avoid a dastardly villain named Count Olaf, who's desperate to get their family fortune. And they go through a bunch of really quirky and kooky and also very miserable adventures. The series is known for its very dark satire and humor, gothic sensibilities, and like this really sharp, dry wit to the whole thing. It's just wonderfully weird and quirky and awesome. And I love the sense of humor that it has about itself, even though it's telling a very bleak story for a children's series. And the show captures that tone and that atmosphere very well. They do a good job of having the narrator, Lemony Snicket, actually appear in the show. And so they keep that element of dry wit that the narrator in the books had. I mean, obviously they can't translate everything, but overall the show is very faithful in terms of its plotting to the books. There's some changes here and there, but I think they make sense overall. Including one element that I was a little bit weirded out by, because there's a lore element that introduced far earlier in the show than it was in the books, but I can understand why, because it's part of a framing device, so it's fine. If I have an issue with the show, it's that there's a bit too much of the adults, weirdly enough. Because pretty much everything was from the perspective of the kids in the books, and that's actually kind of important, because it's about relating to kids, because kids frequently feel that, you know, the world around them is something that's scary and they can't control, and adults don't seem to act in a way that they properly understand. And that's part of what the books were about. The show still gets that across, because you do spend enough time with the kids, but there's a bit too much stuff with the adults, especially Count Olaf. Now, I get it. You have Neil Patrick Harris as Count Olaf, and he's also a producer on the show, so he probably just demanded that he was given extra material. And if I'm being honest, some of the extra material that wasn't from the books, like extra scenes that he's in, it doesn't fully work. It gets better as the episodes go along. Like the first two books, there was extra scenes with Count Olaf that I'm like, I don't really know. I don't think this is adding anything to the story. It's just Neil Patrick Harris indulging himself and being weird. It got became less of a problem as it went on. But outside of that, I think that's only like my only major gripe with the show. Overall, it was very, very well done. Great acting from the kids. The writing, again, has, again, been basically lifted directly from the books, but they find a good way to meld it into the episodes. I like that we can delve into the books and the world a lot more, because you're getting two episodes per book. So, and I'm really excited to see where they go next with it. I love the way they've translated the world. So I'm going to go ahead and give A Series of Unfortunate Events, Season 1, 819,000 Uncle Joeys out of a million.
Woo!
There we go. Shaky Dude.
Which is a score, which here means it's very good and you should watch it.
Read the books when you can, too. They're worth reading.
And yeah, you should definitely read the books. They're great, even if they are kids.
Whoa. Let's just put the brakes on that, Corey. Who mentioned anything about reading?
Curtis is illiterate, don't you remember?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Reading's for losers. Come on, man.
So there's a guy reading from our notes every day.
Yeah, sure. All right. We got our movies of 2016. You've all been, like, emailing me about those. When are you guys going to have it? Well, here it is. Here's the list. We've tallied the scores.
I'm still not sure how the math on this official list was done. I think this is crap, but whatever.
Are you just saying that because 10 Cloverfield Lane was
Because it's not even here. It's not even on the list. And you have garbage like Deadpool on it. Like, what? I have nothing to say to this list.
So how I did it was, and this is good for the listeners to know. So each of us listed the films on this list from 1 to 10. So number 1, I gave 10 points for. And then number 10, I gave 1 point for. And then what happened was is I tallied all the points and then got the average of each. So this is a ranking of the average ranking score.
Math.
Yeah, math indeed. Start with number 10, The Conjuring 2. Good horror sequel. Maybe not as good as the first, but still a very good
movie. Yeah, no problems there.
You know, you go over to England. There you go. Number 9, Finding Dory.
As far as that's not as low as it is.
Yeah. I mean, it was a good film. I enjoyed it, but I was probably the one that put it a little bit lower than the rest of you guys.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I really liked the movie. I really connected with it. I mean, growing up the way I have, you know, with my tendencies.
Yeah. Number 8, Deadpool.
Ah. Okay.
Except for a worse consideration, even
as long as it's number 1.
As long as it's not getting a Best Picture nomination.
Okay. Number 7, Don't Breathe. Best use of semen and a turkey baster in a film this year. Number 6, The Nice Guys. A little choked that it's a little bit lower than it should be, but you know.
It was solid. Didn't love it, but I liked it enough.
Number 5, Doctor Strange.
Woo! Nifty.
Yeah. Number 4, Popstar. Never stop.
Never popping.
Yeah. Ever since I was born, I was dope. All right, number 3, Sing Street.
Woo!
Nice little film. It's cute.
It's on Netflix.
I mean that in a nice way. I don't mean that in like a kind of me being a jerk way, but like it was a nice little film. I mean, it wasn't like huge budget fare, but it was enjoyable. Number 2, Captain America Civil War.
America.
Yeah. Also known as Spider-Man 0.5.
Spider-Man Year Zero.
Yes. And number 1, Hunt for the Wilder People.
Huzzah!
So there we go. Best movie of the year.
According to us. Even though, is it technically any of our number 1?
It wasn't our number 1. But it was very high on all of our lists. High enough to get it.
I thought it was very good. But I think it's only on my top 20, actually. But
only top 20.
Yeah.
He has to do a list of 20, guys.
Well, that's because that's why he asked us for our personal list as well, right? Not just like the number crunch lists, but the, you know, that missing some nominees like 10 Cloverfield Lane.
We're doing personal top 10, by the way. I don't think we have time to do a top 20 list for you.
Oh, no. I was like making my top 20 for something else, but I can just say the 10 here.
Okay. So that was the list that we collectively did, but I also wanted these guys to have their list of the top 10 movies of their own personal like choice. So you know what each of us thought was the best movie, personally. Did you want to start, Corey?
I want to start.
All right. What was your top 10 movies of the
year? Okay. All right, for me, number 10 was Pete's Dragon. I didn't know what to expect coming in for this flick. I mean, I remember watching the original as a kid, and I wasn't wowed by it, but I still had a good time with it, and this just outdid it in every way, and I was really surprised. It's a great drama. It's a great kids movie, and you should definitely check it out.
I agree.
Yeah, well, okay. number 9, I would say The Conjuring 2. I love the first one very much. And while, yeah, I agree with you, Curtis, I don't think it's as quite as strong as the first one, it was still a solid horror sequel in its own right, in an age where horror sequels are pretty much garbage compared to the original. But yeah, awesome for James Wan. Good job. All right, number eight. I had to put Deadpool on here. Deadpool, I mean, I wasn't really wowed by the movie the first time I saw it, but I can appreciate all the work that went behind it. I still enjoy all the jokes. I think Ryan Reynolds is a perfect Deadpool. And yeah, I still pop in every once in a while to have a good time. The cast is good. It's a solid superhero flick, but it's not deserving of Best Picture.
And definitely not a movie that you're going to take kids to.
All right, and number seven, I put down Doctor Strange. I was a little nervous going in this one because it was Marvel's first way going into the mystic realm. But yeah, they did a good job. Benedict Cumberbatch was a great Doctor Strange. While the casting decisions were still iffy for various reasons, it was still a solid MCU origin flick, and I'm glad it got made, and that we're going to be seeing a new side of the Marvel Cinematic Universe going forward. Number six, I put in Jungle Book, another Disney classic that was outdone here. Yeah, Jungle Book with what's his name? Nihil Sekhti? Is that his name?
I'm not remembering his name.
I'll just call him Mowgli. Yeah, Mowgli, fantastic here. Despite you know being all CGI and just, it's still a gorgeous flick. The songs are updated and pretty much well done, although a little bit awkward in placement, and it does enough on its own where I can appreciate it probably more than the original, because I don't love the original that much. And no, I love this one. Yeah, it's fantastic. Go watch it. Let's see. Number five, I put down Sing Street. This one kind of snuck up on me. It's on Netflix now. It's where I watched it for the first time. But yeah, it's a cute, good flick. And yeah, check that one out too. Number four, Captain America Civil War. Easily one of the best superhero flicks of the year. There's a competition between what the DCU has been doing, and then you have some like Apocalypse. But yeah, Captain America, a great case of how you can multitask between characters and still serve arcs and, you know, still be a good flick despite how much it had to handle altogether. And let's see. Number three, Moonlight. Just probably one of the few films in this year that actually kind of made me cry a bit. We're just beautifully shot, beautifully told. Fantastic film. Number two, Hunt for the Wilder People. After seeing What We Do in the Shadows, I'm excited for a second. YTT's follow-up after that. And yeah, he didn't disappoint here. I won't say much about it, but number one, Swiss Army Man with Daniel Radcliffe. This movie, I definitely didn't see being as good as it was. I mean, I don't know what to expect when you have a farting corpse in the mix, but yeah, it's actually a genuinely touching, surprisingly relatable film that works within its weird area, and it turned out to be one of the best movies of the year for me. So yeah, Swiss Army Man, number one, my top movie of the year.
All right, Carlos, what about you?
Okay, I was gonna say now that because I can see Curtis's list in the notes here, so I'm like, all of us have very different lists, and I think that's very interesting. Nice. All right, so my number 10 is Moonlight. This movie was very well done, and it's definitely deserving of the hype and praise and awards and all that stuff that it's getting. It does a very good job of telling a story in a triptych structure. I've seen multiple films that have done this, like where they actually segment the three acts of a movie through some sort of, again, either framing device or, you know, in the case of this movie, with actual title cards. But they find a way to weave this very dense plot around this one character's life and development in a way that's incredibly easy to get invested in, even though
All right,
welcome back, people.
Yay!
It's just like GarageBand.
Good job, GarageBand. This is why we love you.
Yeah. All right. So we answered our answer about James Bond. Question from Travis. Nerds, with many video game movies in 2016 flopping, i.e. Assassin's Creed and Warcraft, there doesn't seem to be much interest in video game movies now that there are two that were not hits. My question is, what would it take to make video game movies a valid subgenre, Travis?
Let me make the Mass Effect movie.
No, he talked to me.
I'll turn video game movies around by myself.
No, you know, he talked to me for 4 hours about it. Let him make the damn movie.
Yeah, me and Corey, we went over the whole franchise. Yeah, for like, yeah, 3-4 hours. And he's
4 hours.
Here's the thing, too. I feel like every time they make a video game movie, they feel like they have to be such a slave to the source material. Like, they have to include all the references for the fans and do things exactly
they
as how it
really,
was in the video game. Like, I think...
There's been a lot, like, thing, are you talking, like Resident like Evil movies? The Prince of Persia movie? Like, there's been a lot of movies that have not worked because they had, like, nothing to do with the material. It's only, like, recently
that slave to the material.
Like, the point I'm getting at here is, like, you don't need to, like, go off and go make your own crazy shit and just put Resident Evil in the title, but at the same time, too, you shouldn't have to be a slave to the material either. It should be open to interpretation, and I think sometimes you have to make changes to the source material to help it fit the media that's being adapted to. Like, you look at Warcraft. Warcraft, as a movie, was a bit of a failure because it just, for me, didn't make any sense. But, like, if you're a fan of Warcraft, if you're a fan of that lore, I'm sure there's a lot of things there that are interesting, but for, like, general audiences, like, there's just nothing really there to sort of engage people. And I think if they had sort of adapted that movie with a bit more sensibility in terms of, like, who else is going to be watching it, it would have been a great movie. Like, there's a lot of potential there. It's just they kind of geared it more towards the fans and no one else, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, Assassin's Creed having, like, a giant fucking crossbow that they give out as, like...
What was that, for $1,200?
You know, part of a package deal.
Yeah. Oh, fucking Ubisoft.
I wonder how much of that box office consisted of those crossbows.
I'm genuinely curious if anyone actually bought that.
If someone did, please email us and let us know.
Yeah, did you buy the $1,200 crossbow movie ticket for Assassin's Creed?
If you did, why are you so...
Are you happy with your purchase?
Yeah, I mean, for that much, you better be. All right. Last emails from James. Nerds in an alternate universe, George Lucas tells you to write the Star Wars prequels. What do you do?
Well, I also have a 4-hour treatment for the Star Wars prequels, and I can... No, I'm just kidding. Well, I actually do, but I'm not going to get into it right now.
Let's be here for the 4 hours, listeners.
Hey, Corey, do you want to listen to me talk about the Star Wars prequels in 4 hours and what I would do with them?
Maybe another time. Is there a way to condense that?
All right, I'll condense it into a couple sentences. Okay, what I would do is, one, throw out everything that's not in episode 4, 5, 6, 7, and Rogue One. So all the other material is ripe for getting rid of if I have to. And two, do it well. That's it.
There you go.
All right. I think what I would do is I would make it one movie and condense the plot down. So I feel like the problem with the prequels is that there's a lot of filler. I mean, sure, there's some stuff there that's interesting, but I feel like it didn't need to be three movies. It could have just been one. And I think focusing on Anakin's betrayal of the Jedi Order would probably be, like, the main thing you'd want to do. Like, his fall from grace, which is... I know what you're saying. Like, that's what episode 3 did, but... I mean, at that point, I was just so tired of seeing what had happened and, like, throughout the other two movies and other stuff. I was just like, no, just don't care. I'm out. So, yeah, condensing it down would probably be the biggest thing. What about you, Corey?
I'd say nope and just hand it to Carlos.
Yeah,
I don't want to be in charge of the Star Wars universe.
Trust in Carlos. That's an episode.
I just like to say, like, if I screw it up, I am going to be fucking hated by the nerd fandom. That is just too much pressure for me.
I can do it. I can take it. I know I'll be doing some stuff that's sacrilege, but I'll be doing it for the greater good.
If you got it, you would just make it into a porn parody.
No, if he told me to make a porn parody, that'd be another story. I could do that.
Would you do the porn parody of my Star Wars prequel remake?
Probably.
Yeah, boy.
Give me a basis to build upon and make it sexy.
Stool Wars, an anal beat story.
Oh, God, no. Ew.
Why, Curtis? Why? Just why?
All right, well, that's it for the podcast.
Yes.
If you like us, rate and review us on iTunes, please. Give us a nice, big, fat 5-star.
And then tell us you suck, as long as you give us 5 stars.
I'd say 4 stars, at least, I'd be happy with.
No. Full five.
That's in the Corey. Yeah,
or you don't want to enable them, because then they'll start getting ideas in their heads, like they can give us less than 5 stars, and we can't have that.
Yeah. Gotta keep
I think 4 stars is pretty decent for us.
Nope. Not when it comes to podcast readings.
We're the world's greatest podcast, Corey, and the 5 stars for
we crashed stars. In the middle of the show.
No, it was at the tail end of the show. That's very different.
Well, it's still silent.
And we recovered from it. It was like our 9/11.
Dear God, shut up.
Read Doom's fanfic. Also, too, you should also be opting in for the premium content. There's a lot of D&D stuff.
Yes, we've been busy.
So I think we're doing a movie commentary.
Actually, you need to upload the older stuff.
The older movie commentaries?
Yes. I think it's been enough time.
Yeah, I guess
you should do that. Yes. Oh, what?
Yeah, well, if you want them, you should be paying the premium content price, then get them right away.
So, wait, what are we watching for next one?
I think we were watching that one with Meredith Winstead in high school.
Oh, we're doing Sky High?
Sky High won the poll.
Oh, nice. Woo. Good job. Yeah. We actually picked something we wanted to do.
Yay.
Corey, are you meaning that you didn't want to do... what was the movie we watched?
Lake Placid.
Yeah, you mean you didn't want to see
Lake Placid? Well, I didn't want to see with you guys. I'd want to watch them with you guys. But yeah. I want a Dog Soldiers, Dad. I think you would love Dog Soldiers.
Also, hey, did you guys know that Lake Placid has a better average rating on Letterboxd than Suicide Squad does? Now you know.
Well,
last I checked, Lake Placid has a 2.6 out of 5 average, whereas Suicide Squad has a 2.4.
Where what? Has a 2.4?
Suicide Squad.
Oh, come on. Lake Placid is better than Suicide Squad. What's wrong with you?
No, I'm saying is that, yeah, Lake Placid has a higher score. Lake Placid has a 2.6 and Suicide Squad is a 2.4, so...
Still too low for Lake Placid. Fuck you, people.
Also, to keep an eye on our social media.
We're expecting big things.
We're going to be doing more giveaways.
Oh, yeah, giveaways, yes. We always have a joy for giveaways.
Yeah, and we hired a social media person. So, it'll be a lot more happenings going on there. So
yes.
Also, I think we might be starting to do more YouTube videos.
Oh, more YouTube videos? Nice.
So, keep an eye out for that.
Is there anything else?
Is there anything else? I don't think so.
One day we'll do sexy fanfic. One day.
Yeah, it's becoming closer to a reality.
After how many years? Like 3?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. All right, guys. Bye for
now.
Bye. Bye-bye.